Everyone, let's get started.
All right, so what are we coaching on?
Oh, wow, scared.
See, I don't let you wait around long enough to be scared. You just have to go.
True. I joined in January, and I lost 13 pounds right away. Not right away, but, you know, January, February. Mm-hmm. Then March hit, and I slacked a bit. And now it's April and it's May, and I'm like, I do my plans, like I'll do them for 2 days and it'll be great. And then I have an overeat, mostly McDonald's, and I beat myself up so much that I just stop.
So stop stopping.
Yeah. Wait, I eventually get back on.
The first solve is to keep going. Not right. To like be like, oh, yes. Fuck, I've messed up, and now I got to wake up 2 months later and figure this out.
Yes.
We could just keep going.
Yeah, and I eventually always do. Like, I haven't thrown in the towel, and I do.
Yeah, right. Except that I want you to listen to this. You do throw in the towel when you choose to beat yourself up afterward. That's called throwing in the towel. That's saying, I'd like to put the brakes on my weight loss.
Right.
Like, overeat is, like, I want everybody to hear this. The overeat is not what is slowing down your weight loss.
Okay.
I promise all of you, your overeats are not what slows down your weight loss. It's how you react to the overeats afterward. It's going to tell me whether or not you're going to keep losing weight or if you're going to slow down your weight loss on your own with your thoughts.
Yeah. And my thoughts are all over the place.
Like, tell me some of the thoughts you have after, like, what do we get at McDonald's?
Oh, I usually just get breakfast. It's like a habit I've made. I know. What?
No, you should be getting fish fillet or the number two.
Well,
those are my favorites.
I do get a fish fillet. That's one of my, that's my go-to in the evenings. But
I'm just like sitting here going, somebody needs to make sure they're getting Queen's favorites.
And I add lettuce to that fish fillet. It makes it way better.
See, I used to always tell them no tartar sauce. I liked it just cheese and fried fish. That was my thing.
Okay.
All right. So we're getting breakfast.
We're getting breakfast.
And we do it. And then what happens in our mind?
Well, I think I figured out part of the reason why I do stop in the mornings. I get my kid. I have three boys.
But I'm not working on this part.
Okay.
We're not, like, this is the problem. You guys want to, like, say, here's what I want to fix. I want to end the overeating.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to learn what the overeating is supposed to teach me, which is to stop being an asshole to ourselves when we mess up.
Okay.
That's the first lesson that has to get done. You'll never end the overeats. You'll never lose weight. And you'll never keep it off if you do not learn how to talk to yourself. Because if you shit on yourself after an overeat, you'll also shit on yourself after you say something that you think is inappropriate to someone. Or you'll shit on yourself the first time you have to say no to somebody around something. Like, mm-hmm. The overeats are supposed to teach you how to quit making shit mean something terrible about yourself. That's always lesson one.
And I have not got past that.
Yeah, and until you get past that, it won't, stopping them won't matter, because you'll always end up... Like, here's the thing. What gets you to stop is somehow you're beating yourself up over something else, usually.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always beating myself up for something.
Yeah. And if you're always beating yourself up over something, here's the thing. Why don't we stop doing that part rather than trying to figure out how to take away food so that you can be hungry, craving, tempted, and left with all this emotion and not know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So overeat and we're going to stop beating ourselves up. Like, what do you say to yourself when you've done that piece?
I don't really know. I try not to think about it. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, because you're going to beat yourself up. So it's like, how about I just like act like this never happened?
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I realize it happened. And then what?
And then I just, yeah. And then it's either forget it. I'll just try again tomorrow. Or I don't know. I don't think about it. or I just say, once again, there we go again. We're doing the same thing. We're, you know, overeating. We're eating more, way more than we should.
Overeating mean about you?
That I have a problem with food. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It brings me comfort.
No, it doesn't. You know why?
Because nothing brings, it just doesn't.
I want you to look at yourself right now. Can you see yourself in the phone?
Yeah, I don't like looking at myself.
Yeah, do you look super comfortable? Did all this extra food, like, do you look like you're just like, I'm so proud of myself?
No.
Right, that's why you have to never tell yourself, it brings me comfort. This is where we start telling ourselves the truth. I don't care if you like food, we all like food, but the thought, it brings me comfort, you need to say, no, it never brings me comfort. It may make in the moment me not think about something.
Yes.
But there's always, like, I'll have to pay the price.
Yeah.
You can even say, like, and I may be willing to pay the price later, but I'm never, ever telling myself ever again that my overeating somehow works for me. It's not a story that long term, it's not even true, first of all. Otherwise, you would come on this call and just be like, Corinne, I just want to thank you so much. I've gotten so comfortable with my overeating. I love that I do it. I could see myself doing this the rest of my life and feeling amazing about it.
Yeah, no.
That would be comforting.
Right.
But when you have to come on a call and you're like, I need to make this stop. They'd be like, do you have kids? You said you
have three boys.
They'd be like, do they ever hug you? Do you like it?
Yes, they hug me. Yeah.
I'd be like saying, I need all that hugging to stop.
Yes.
Yeah, so comforting. Yeah. If y'all could just be mean to your mother, that would feel better.
Yeah. So I got to stop just talking to myself bad. I don't know how to do that.
Take a guess how you stopped doing that.
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I've been doing it.
I want you to guess. I want you, like, I'm asking you to guess. I'm not asking you to be right.
Right. Okay. The only thing I think of is just shut it down. It's just don't think about it. Just stop. Yeah. Saying that stuff in my head.
Yeah. Do you do that very often?
I try. And there are days that I do really good at it. The days when I'm on my plan and but then there's other days where I'm pretty emotional. Like, I don't know. I suffer from depression a little bit on and off, and I get anxiety, overwhelmed pretty easy sometimes.
Yeah. And all of that is a signal that you need to be talking nicer to yourself. I'm going to tell you, overwhelm, anxiety, depression, all those things, that is your internal system sending you up a like a flag that says, I need you to talk to me. Not, I need you to go get, you know, a fish fillet.
A fish fillet.
Like, yeah. I want all of you to hear this. When we hear those or feel those negative feelings inside of us, what most of you want to do is run from them. That, like, they shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be there. That is like your body's way of saying you're thinking something that we need to unravel.
How do we unravel it?
Well, you listen for what it's saying. Like, what is it? Like, what is the thing that you say the most to yourself that you would say negative?
I can't do this. I'm never going to succeed at this.
And why can't you succeed? And why can't you do this?
Because I've struggled with my weight for 20 years and I've never lost weight.
Okay.
Like, the 13 pounds was the first time I've ever lost.
So you immediately disprove the fact that you can't do it.
Right. Because I did it.
Yeah. Now we just got to do it again.
And be consistent and stick with it.
Yeah, it's this idea, like when you start feeling all that, and like if at the core it's because you believe you can't do it, you're going to have to do more work on telling yourself, I know I'm going to be able to do this. It's not going to come the way I think, though. It's not going to come with perfection. And I'm just going to tell you, the easiest days to shut down fat girl thinking are the days when you're perfect. You know when it's not easy? The days when you make the mistake, but that's the exact day where you get your practice in. That's the days you need to be working on it, not running from it like something bad has happened.
That's what I do. Yeah, you're right. I run from it.
Yeah, you need to like run into it.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like fun.
Do you know what's not fun?
Being overweight.
For 2 months, wondering why you can't get your shit together.
That's not been fun.
No, it's not fun at fucking all. But one day when you overeat and just being like, all right, I'm going to process why I went, how I could do it differently next time. I'm not going to say negative things to myself. I'm going to get to work. I'm not going to get to running away. Because the last time I chose to run away, I had 2 months of worrying and feeling bad about myself or trying to shove everything away like it's not happening. Yeah. This is the funny thing. You guys make so much effort into trying to push things away as if they're not happening, and yet it's all in your brain the whole time. It's not like you're doing a good job.
You're right, because it's nonstop. I think about it nonstop in the back of my head. It's always there.
Yeah. What if you just like, when you make a mistake, I don't care if you even want to say like, it just feels like I'm never going to figure this out. And that is just something I'm thinking, and I'm okay with thinking it, but I'm still going to at least process it. It's like the moments when I get angry about something or upset about something, like it should go a different way. I always just remind myself, I know this is because of what I'm thinking. I'm feeling anxious right now because of what I'm thinking. I'm feeling pissed right now because of what I'm thinking. I'm feeling shame right now because of what I'm thinking. And that's okay.
Okay.
It's normal to think and feel things. That's, you know, welcome to being a damn human.
Right.
What's not normal is to pretend like it's all supposed to go well and be shocked when it doesn't. That's abnormal.
Okay. My other thing I was going to ask, and it all ties into like when I do an overeat, I did a few thought downloads and stuff like that and did the overeating question, you know, the worksheets. I probably have only did 6 to 8 of them. Okay. Obviously I've overeat that probably in a week. So I need to do more of those, but I feel like every single one tells me the same thing and I'm just not learning from it. Does that make sense? Like,
tell me exactly what it has said every single time. Like, what is the common thing? Yeah.
They're all the same. Just, like what are the questions? I don't remember.
I don't have it in front of me.
I do. Hold on. Is that okay if I grab it quick?
Yeah.
I thought I had them right here.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Here's one. They're all the same because they're all like the morning McDonald's eat.
Well, that's normal. Like, I want all of you to hear this. They will probably all be almost exactly the same.
Okay.
Until you have your like moment where like, oh, I know why I'm thinking this now. Or, yeah. Oh, so it's really going to take me really wanting it and driving down a different street.
Okay.
Okay. Let me just say this, just doing the questions doesn't fix anything.
Okay.
Like, maybe. I think a lot of you think I'm going to do this worksheet on my overeats and then suddenly I'm not going to need to overeat anymore. It's like, no, you're going to do a worksheet on your overeat. You're going to see what actually is happening. And then when that happens again, you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to respond exactly the same way. This is just to get you very aware of what you're responding to.
Okay.
So that in that moment, you can choose to feel like ass the next time. Not to make that next time be like, so easy. This will be simple. I won't want McDonald's ever again after this worksheet. Like, no, it will be a Tetris in the night.
Okay. Sure.
So what does your worksheet say?
Most of the time I stop because I get really worked up, not really worked up, but just with 3 boys in the morning and we're always running around and it's madness and chaos and I love them. But, so I drop my kids off to school.
Let's ask this. So if it's the morning setting you up, right, you want relief basically.
Yeah. I want a timeout before I have to go to work. It's kind of what I do it.
Okay. So you've got 2 options. One, we can work through your thoughts about your 3 boys. and the morning routine. The second one is, if you want a timeout, go sit in your car in the parking lot when you get to work for the amount of time it would have took you to get the McDonald's and eat it.
And I have did that. So I think it's the other.
So the kids are running around because here's the thing. I want you to tell yourself, I keep thinking that there's chaos and I keep thinking that it's a madhouse.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I know you do, but I want you to understand you're thinking that and that it not is that.
Okay.
All right. So tell me what happens in the morning.
It's just like Groundhog's Day. We get up, I have a 13, 11, and 7-year-old. My 13 and 11-year-old both have ADHD. Mm-hmm. And so my 7-year-old can usually get ready before them. Okay. But the other two, I feel like I'm constantly like, go get dressed. I mean, we have been doing the same routine for how many years? Yeah. He's in 7th grade, the oldest, and he's definitely getting better. But it just, every morning it's a little something different. You're not getting out of bed. Go brush your teeth. Go put on deodorant. Go get your socks on. It's just, I'm constantly having to micromanage, and I can't even get ready myself. So,
do you think it should be different?
Yes, I think that they should be able to get ready by themselves.
Okay, that's the problem.
Okay.
That thought is your problem. They should be able to get ready by themselves. They should be doing this differently. This is how it should be.
Should be's are the problem.
Are always the problem.
Okay.
If you want a should be, let me tell you what should be happening with you right now. You should never have expectations outside of what's actually happening.
Okay.
That's how you get through life without stress and overwhelm and anxiety as much. You're compiling. So you're feeling a lot of what we call unnecessary suffering before you get to McDonald's.
Yes.
It's because you have a judgment that your kids are supposed to be different and your kids are telling you every day, but I'm not. But this is how I do it. It does not mean that you can't like teach them how to get ready and do all those strategies, but you're doing it from a place of somehow unicorn dust is supposed to sprinkle on my three boys and they're supposed to like snap into place into these kids that I envision them to be. It's like, these are the boys you have. You're shooting on them is causing you, like when you think they should be doing this better by now, how does that feel?
Overwhelming a bit, just makes me anxious. Like, what am I doing wrong that they're not right?
You see how this all plays out? It's like, now I've got one model where I'm just feeling anxious or frustrated. You're probably frustrated in the mornings.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Okay.
So you've got, they should be getting ready on their own by now and I'm frustrated. And so what is your actions?
What do I do or what should I do? What do I do?
What are you doing?
What am I doing? Well, I'm walking in between my bathroom, trying to get ready myself for work, and I'm finding whoever it is and saying, go brush your teeth, and then taking the other one. Please, let's just get your socks on, or the other one. You have 3 minutes to eat. And then I go back and I do something like, you know, my foundation. Mm-hmm. Then I have to go back out because there's arguing and you're, you know, and I'm like, okay, once again, now you go brush your teeth. Now you get your shoes on. And
that's all going to be the normal process. But the frustration, what is it causing you to do?
I get even more worked up and I yell.
All right. So yelling.
Yeah, for sure.
And probably like sitting around putting your makeup on thinking, they should fucking be doing this better.
Yeah.
I can't even put my makeup on because of these kids.
Yeah. I put my makeup on and
the shit spiral in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what result is?
What my result is me just getting super anxious and no, it's not my result.
I'm not doing as good as I should be.
Oh, yeah. In the back of my head, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, because
why can't you do this better?
Yeah, what does this mean about me as a mother?
Yes.
This is the root of your McDonald's visit.
It is.
It is what you make it mean that your kids can't get ready and you get your makeup on in a timely fashion. What does that make you as a mother?
Yeah.
What if it just means you have these kids that are going to take a while in order to be, I'm going to tell you right now, mine's 16. I've got like one.
You want a couple others for a while?
Logan's problem is he's not like, Logan is just slow as fucking snails. He's happy to get up an hour before, even with an hour warning. I walk in, he's like standing there in his underwear, just looking around his room. Like, I think there's more clothes you're going to need to go to school, buddy. What if your kids and they're arguing and untimely getting ready and all that kind of stuff didn't mean anything bad about you as a mother? What if it only meant you're a good mom because you somehow get them to school every single day, all three of them, with all their ADHD and they're fighting and stuff. And yet somehow every day they get an education.
Yeah. I don't know how.
I want you to kind of see though, how we just started with like, I don't know why, like I beat myself up. You're beating yourself up on the most internal level.
Yeah.
So like when you're doing your recovery worksheets, and you notice it's the same thing over and over again. I tend to go to McDonald's most mornings after, like, you know, getting my kids to school. Mm-hmm. You start just working yourself backward on why do I need McDonald's in the morning so bad? What happens before that where I might be telling myself something about my circumstances that just is a bunch of shit for me? That's all you have to do to work it backward. It's never super complicated.
Yeah.
It feels complicated because you're in it. And you think that there's some kind of like, I think a lot of us think that there's some kind of huge reckoning that's supposed to happen. And then it's going to make all the overeating easier. This is what's going to happen. We're deciding that your mornings are now called normal.
Okay.
And that is what I think you're going to have to start wrapping your brain around, that maybe this isn't chaos. What else did you call it? You had some very lovely words for your morning.
Sarcasm is my thing. I don't remember. Chaos, madness.
Madness. Yeah. Let's just not describe the mornings as chaos and madness, because okay. Just going to tell you, if we took this to the Supreme Court, they wouldn't give it to you.
Okay.
You'd want it and you'd want to argue it. I can see it in your face now. You still want to argue with me that it is chaotic and maddening. It feels, this is the thing, it feels chaotic. It feels maddening because yeah. You keep thinking it shouldn't be happening because whatever's happening, you're internalizing it as you're not doing a good job as a mother. That's why it feels so shitty.
Okay.
You've decided the value of being a mom has to do with the speed at which we brush our teeth and get our clothes on in the morning and out the door.
Okay.
I want you to just start thinking about, these are our mornings. And I'm dropping all expectations that these kids are going to get their shit together anytime soon. I'm going to keep reminding them, but I'm not going to do it frustrated anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to do it from a place of, this is life. This is what our life is right now. And it's just right now. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? But for right now, this is how we get ready in the mornings. And I'll remind them as many times as it takes, because I'm that kind of mom that loves to make sure they get to school and get educated every single day. I think if you take some emotional load off yourself, I see this so much, y'all, with your overeating. When you take some of your own emotional load off, it is a lot easier to want McDonald's and then say no.
Okay.
It's really hard to want McDonald's and say no in the face of being ginned up because of your thoughts about your kids all morning long.
Yeah.
That's a big ask of anyone. It's not that it can't be done, but fuck, it's the hard way to do it. I'd rather y'all just learn how to say no to McDonald's a lot easier. And it's a lot easier when your sane brain is doing the job.
Yeah. Also, just to give you the full picture, my husband is always home when we're getting ready too, and he'll sit there and he'll just lay in bed while all this is going on, and then eventually he gets really mad and ends up himself getting up and yelling at, screaming at the boys.
Tell me how that changes anything about how you're supposed to think about your morning and yourself as a mother.
It doesn't. I
point that out for so you can see where your brain goes. But like when we say all this, want this to be a problem because you're identifying as you've done something wrong. What have you done wrong with these kids? I mean, this is where the crux of it's at. You told me, like, what does this make me as a mom? What does it, like, you got a husband that's angry. You got two kids with ADHD. Sounds like you got a good 7-year-old. He's getting shit ready in the morning. So
yeah,
maybe he just saw how often the other two got yelled at and was like, "Woo, I'm not doing that." But tell me what it is. What kind of mom are you? In your head.
In my head. I would do anything for them. Mm-hmm. I love them so much, but I also get very frustrated with them.
And what does that say about you as a mother that you get frustrated with your kids?
That I think it says to me that I could do better. They fight mm-hmm. all the time. I love them. They're sweethearts. I love them.
Stop telling me the good stuff. Like, I don't give a fuck about how good you feel about them. I want to know, like, on the inside, Amanda, what is it that you are saying to yourself about you as a mom? That's what we need to figure out and flush out real fast, because that right there is the problem. You don't have to like prove to all of us that you're a good mother. We already believe it. The problem is you don't.
Okay. Right. I get that. I guess I've never really seen that before, but I think that is, they fight so much. I always am thinking, will I ever really like each other? And what did I do to make it so they don't like each other?
So this is where we take the question from, I've done something wrong because they don't like each other.
Yeah. Where did that go wrong?
What if it wasn't wrong? What if they're just normal kids that argue all the freaking time? I mean, I want you to see this. Because if you believe that their arguing is wrong and that wrongness was created because you somehow fucked up and didn't teach them right and went down the wrong path, then every single time they argue or they're slow getting ready or something goes on the inside, you're getting your anxiety tapped. That I'm a bad mother. I'm a bad mother. See, more evidence. I'm a bad mother. You'll look around. If you're like a lot of us who have, like, I don't even have multiples, but my brother and I don't even know how we didn't kill each other. We were left alone all the time. We laugh to this day about times when we probably should have called 911. One of us had hurt each other so bad fighting that in this day and age, it would have been like DHS and 911. Back then, it was just like, for fuck's sake, don't tell mama. She'll whip us.
Yeah.
We were normal. So if you just thought for like, I want you to start playing with the idea. I've not done anything wrong raising these kids. They were always going to have ADHD. They're going to be like typical siblings and they're going to fight a lot. Especially because they have ADHD. They might fight even more.
Yeah.
And this is how they'll figure out as an adult to not fight with people.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
I guarantee you that's probably what's going to happen. They're going to fight enough to where one of them hurts the other and be like, oh, wow, I should probably never say that in public. That's how kids, when they fight and their parents intervene and they do all that stuff, what if that is how kids learn how to be amazing adults rather than this is so wrong? They should be perfect, like me and my overeating. Like if I just never overate. So when they're not perfect, you beat yourself up. When you're overeating, you beat yourself up. That's why I go back to the beginning and say, these overeats are happening for two very good reasons. To teach you how to have self-acceptance as a mother and to quit beating yourself up over that. And to teach you how to redirect your thoughts when they go to the shitter, because an overeat is a really good opportunity to notice how your brain gets triggered to think about yourself. And until you quit shaming yourself, the overeats won't go away. They will be there to continually show you where your next piece of work is in your weight loss journey.
Okay.
You should think about this and do a little work, and you should get on a coaching call in the office hours.
Yeah.
In a few weeks, and talk more about this whole idea of what you are, how you are as a mom. Like, I would love for you to do work on your relationship with yourself. Even if you just went to the Mastering Relationships course and sure. You did that, and do it all in the relationship with you.
Okay.
I think
better. Do you think I should choose that one more than the self-love one?
Finish self-love this month, but next month we're going to be working on, I don't have a name for it yet. I've got to come up with a name. It may end up just being buffering because I can't come up with a damn decent name, but basically we're going to be working on why we avoid doing work next month. So why, like avoidance, like a lot of people do avoidance through overeating, drinking and stuff like that. We're mm-hmm. going to be working on the concept of buffering and how do we, it's a lot. I just think that I think for you, the next big step is like, you could work on not overeating, or you could work on what's really important right now, which is repair the relationship you have with yourself, because it'll make you stronger to be able to do that work later. Doesn't mean you can't lose weight during all of this.
Right.
It just means that it will make every time that you need to say no to McDonald's easier when you like yourself. And when you're cutting yourself some slack for how your life is, that your husband getting upset, it's not a problem. That's his reactions to what he's seeing. Just like you're not yelling and getting angry in the moment like he is. You're going to McDonald's. Everybody's reacting to this. What no one's doing is figuring out how to think about all of this. Because I can guarantee you, those three kids are not going to morph overnight so that you can quit overeating and he can sleep in.
Right. Right.
I don't think they have that much at stake.
No.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
I think my son wanted to celebrate Mother's Day. He texted, he's been at his Nana's. Heidi, I'm bringing you on. He's been at his Nana's all weekend. Again, I told Chris, I was like, this must be what it's like if you have joint custody. Ever since Nana's moved to town, I haven't seen him on a weekend yet. And so he was like, how are we celebrating Mother's Day tonight? And I think he wants to go to Burger Republic. And I was like, you and your daddy are supposed to be celebrating me. I'm not supposed to be planning it. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, but I got the gift of Subway for lunch. And that's it. What can we coach on?
Hey, Corinne. Wonderful to chat with you. Thank you so much. And thank you for changing up how you're doing your coaching calls. It really makes it, I don't feel like I have a better shot of talking with you. And I guess so. So thank you. And happy Mother's Day. You're awesome.
Thank you.
We're coaching. Let's see. I joined in January. And I think doing really well with the program overall and doing lots of thought work. I feel like before January, I didn't have a sense of the self-talk that I was doing. And so really focusing on that. And most of my, well, really everything but this one area is pretty receptive to my redirection. But this one area is just so painful. And I'm not, it stops me right in my tracks when I think about
what is that. The area that's so painful?
The area is that, all my family is gone. I'm truly an orphan on the planet. I'm married, been in a relationship for years with this woman. I have no friends. My phone doesn't ring. I don't get texts. I feel like I'm not going.
You know, you could fix that so easy in the tribe. If you ever wanted to be blitzed with accountability, like Logan, we put it out. I swear to God, it's like a second job. He's Marco Poloing people all the time now.
Maybe I should hit him up so I get some action on my phone. But I just feel like I'm not capable of, not good at. It's not that I'm not worthy, because I've got a strong ego. I feel like I'm
damn. Except you keep saying that you're orphaned on the planet. Like, that's a fact. You know, that's a description of my parents have passed.
Right. Everyone's passed. I don't know. It feels like a fact. I've got my wife.
I wonder if she loves the idea that, like, well, I've got my wife, but I'm really orphaned. Just going to tell you, I'm all by myself, and I'm no good at relationships.
No, she doesn't love it. And she reminds me of her family that, you know, they love me.
That is how we know that your thought, I'm orphaned, like when you said, no, that's a fact, that it's not, that if you were to tell your wife that, her feelings would be hurt.
Yeah, they do.
Or she would give you some argument to the contrary. The problem is you're arguing that it should be true, that you could feel like shit about being orphaned.
I do feel like shit about it. And friendships. This is exactly the thing. I need some different way to look at this because, I mean, it hasn't been very long. Granted, it's only been since January. But I'm making no headway, and it continues to feel like shit.
Well, one is you have to separate from the idea that you are orphaned. Hmm. Like, when I said that, you're like, it's a fact.
Yeah.
There's never going to, this is how the model works. And it sounds like you've done all the stuff. So you understand when I talk about the model, thoughts and feelings, correct?
Yes.
All right. So when we have our ineffective model, which is the one you're stuck in right now, like you just can't seem to move out of it. It is because you're trying to create thoughts to fly into the face of something. You're like, well, that's all nice and good. But this is the belief. Like, this is true. You're trying to find something to feel good about something you ultimately feel like is shit. That's right. How we know that you're not ready for a new thought. You're only ready to separate from your story you've told yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to think about your life. Like, you've already said in this call that your parents are dead. Did you have siblings?
I had one. He's gone too. Yeah.
So parents and siblings are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you have life over here that you're choosing not to see because of one thought of, I've been orphaned. I'm the only one left. I mean, I want you to really think about, are you truly the only one left?
In terms of blood relatives, like, yes.
Okay, so we could give you blood relatives.
Yeah.
Have all deceased. I'm the last blood relative.
I'm the last of my kind.
Do what?
I'm the last of my kind. I'm the last of my people. I'm being silly. It feels lonely. It's hard on holidays. It hurts my heart. I don't like it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with I think where you're missing is that it's fine to miss the people that you once loved, but you're using their absence against yourself to miss the current people you have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the circumstance of my mother, my father, my brother have all deceased.
Yeah.
I'm the last of my kind. I feel lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Your actions are what?
Not a lot in that regard. A little bit more when it comes to friend relationships. When it comes to familial relationships, I do make good effort with Courtney's family, my in-laws, and I do my best to foster a relationship there. That feels fairly successful. I think they like me.
But I think that comes from a different model.
Yeah.
When you're feeling lonely in the world, what are you doing or not? Are you talking to your wife about how lonely you are?
Sometimes I do, or I read a good escapist book, or I do one of my other hobbies. I think I avoid the feeling. And
okay, so that's what I want to see in your action line. That's really what's happening. When I even think when you decide to talk to your wife, I don't think that's coming from the model of I'm the only one left. I think we start avoiding our feelings, and then the result is I leave myself. I truly am alone. I'm not even here for me now.
Interesting.
Like when you talk to your wife, why do you talk to your wife about it?
Why do I?
Yeah. Tell me why you talk to your wife about it.
Because it's good to get it out. It's good to share it with someone. And it feels good when she says, well, I'm your family, honey. I love you. That all feels like a balm to the wound. And because she's my partner.
So what if your thought was just, I feel alone, but I'm not alone.
That might would be a good step. Yeah.
Well, you just told me what's working for you.
Yeah.
It's good to get this out. It's good to talk about it. And how does that feel?
How does that feel to get it? I mean, it feels temporarily better. It feels bonding with her for sure. It feels important to share that part of my heart with her.
And then your action is you're sharing. And then the result is I get out of my own way when it comes to relationships.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about relationships. Whether people are alive or dead, the relationships still exist 100% in your brain.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yes. So if you want to have, it's actually not a fact, but it's one we can go with because it feels good. And that's an effective model and we'll roll with it all day.
We'll roll with it.
But the thing is that like you need to figure out the relationship you want to have with the people that are gone. And right now the relationship you have with them is they've left me.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. I actually talk to my brother a lot. I think I get along better with my mom now that she's passed.
But when you're saying I'm orphaned and I'm the last of my kind, that's like saying they're gone. They've left me. Like they're not here.
That's fact. Yeah. I mean, that's true.
That's what I'm driving at. So you need to have, like, you need to decide the relationship you want to have with them now, which is no longer saying I'm orphaned. It's like, it could just be, I miss them. And now it's time to like take stock of the relationships I do have in front of me, the ones that are alive in the world. Mm-hmm. I think you're spending a lot of time thinking that this loneliness is a problem rather than it's just a feeling.
I'll give you that. That makes sense.
Like, what do you want? What do you want to feel?
Community, belonging. Like people got my back when I need it. Like I can call on people at 2:00 in the morning if I have to. I can call people if I get thrown in jail. I don't know why I always think about that. Not that I've ever gone to jail. But, you know, I just want, you know, tribe. Something I so value in PMP is that sense of community and tribe. And I want to feel connected, not alone on the planet.
Well, the only way to feel connected is for you to do, like, your own work in your brain about it. That's not going to be because people are saying things to you. It's going to be people will say things to you in the circumstance line and you'll have a thought, that's my people.
Yeah.
That won't be like some, like we, I invite you to read in the Facebook group. And this is what I want you to be aware of. I want you to really start looking for thoughts versus facts in the Facebook group. We have plenty of posts every single day of someone who's been told something nice about them.
Yeah.
And their thought is not, that's my people. Right. Well, they should have said it this way. Or I don't really believe them. I wonder what they want.
Right.
That's how we know that when other people say shit, it's always left up to interpretation. So your job is like, if you want, like if your end result is you want community, like what are you going to have to be doing to get it?
Probably the things I keep doing, keep putting myself out there, keep finding people with like interests, keep reaching out, spending the time to foster those relationships.
Get rejected a lot.
Pardon?
Get rejected a lot.
Get rejected a lot because they're just not cool like me.
I always like to include that because we all try to act like we're all going to like each other. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We're always going to be like, that's the beautiful thing about if you really want true connection with other humans and stuff, that means signing up for the ones that also aren't going to like you too.
Yeah.
That's part of the whole experience of being truly connected.
That piece doesn't bother me because I know there are so many people on the planet and not everyone's for everyone. I'm really comfortable with that. What's hard for me is I'll put in energy, make connection. And I feel like I end up being the one doing this is my thought, that I'm doing the heavy work. I'm doing the lifting. Like if I don't call, I don't hear from them. So after a few tries.
So what's wrong with that?
Which part?
Like, what if you are the heavy lifter? Because you're the one who's really wanting connection.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be the one doing the work? Maybe they don't want connection. Maybe they want someone to connect with them. Maybe that's their end goal.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe they just have their hands full with so many things it doesn't occur to them. And maybe I should just think, well, when I invite them, they say yes. So that's an indicator instead of, well, I've invited 3 times. We've had a great time. We talk, we have good talks, but if I don't call, they don't call. So they.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there's rules in relationships?
I think I do, like balance and equality.
That's poison for you. Hmm. Relationships are not balanced and relationships are not fair and they're not equal. They're none of those things. You know what relationships are? Whatever you define it in your head. And right now you're setting it up to where it's like, well, I'm having to do all the work and I'm doing all this. I'm like, that is how I roll. Mm. Like I have a girlfriend, like literally the only time we talk is when I do the outreach.
Mm.
But I love her. I want to talk to her. I don't sit there and go like, we're way out of balance. You know, you're supposed to call me every now and then. We're never out of balance because you know what the balance is? Whatever I make it mean in my head. And if it means I do 99% of the work, then we're in balance. You get to decide that however you want. You just got to know that the way you're defining it right now, it's not working for you because it's making you think something's wrong.
I love that. It actually, I really love the idea if there are no rules and if I've been thinking wrong about, well, it's dysfunctional. If there's not some balance, it's a little toxic. If they're not reaching out to, it actually feels a bit like relief because there's people I enjoy. And so, I'd be happy to embrace that as an idea.
I am usually for a lot of my friends, the one that organizes the things and does the things and stuff. I really like that. And I always, one of the ways I reconcile it is, I'm the personal one. Like I'm the personality of our group. I usually attract people who are very introverted. And one reason they like being around me is because I am the extrovert. Well, the introverts also aren't going to want to plan a party. You know, I don't get shock and awe when they're not wanting to, you know, get big gangs together. I'm married to an introvert. I plan all of our stuff.
Hey, Corinne, this is golden. I mean, if I had the freedom to just say, well, blah, I'm just going to be me and I'm going to invite all the people.
It's always so much easier to just be yourself than to try to figure out, all right, so everybody needs to know, we're all going to have to act a certain way. It may not be the way we want, but this is the rules of relationships.
I love it. That's super helpful. Both ideas are super helpful. I knew I'd want to talk to you.
Well, good. You go hug on your wife today.
I will.
And you just tell her, say, that damn Corinne, she's over here telling me how connected we are.
She loves you too. She listens to some of it and
awesome. All right. Well, you have a good day.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Let's see. Oh, I'm just sitting here just looking at everybody's chat like let's just hang out y'all. Julie, you're next. My gosh, it's like my brain is on I don't even know what. It's probably because it's my first cup of coffee today. don't know if y'all know, but we got physicals this morning, bright and early, and had to fast. And I always eat at like 11 o'clock just about every day. And today at 9, I was sitting there going, they need to hurry because I'm starving. It's always when you can't eat is when you're like constantly thinking about food.
Right.
All right. What are we coaching on?
Well, that first call was really helpful to me. But I guess what prompted me to call or to sign up was that I'm having trouble getting to the why of things, the why I do things, getting into the emotional, like the thought work part of it. It always just kind of comes back to something shallow, just like, you know, I overeat because a Pop-Tart sounded good, you know.
But that's not shallow. There's no shallow. Sometimes it's because it looks good.
Okay. But what do I do with that? How is that helping me?
You know that you're going to have to work on sitting around food when it looks really good. It's like that signals, oh, when something's really good, I don't know how to tell myself no yet.
Yeah.
I need to work on the part where I actually have to say no. What do I make? Yeah. Like, what are you constructing in your brain? Like, so we're looking at a good looking Pop-Tart. It's probably frosted. Is it warm or are you just eating them like butt ass cold and that's amazing?
Oh no, it's warm. I toasted it, you know.
Okay. Well, at least you're doing that. Because I am lazy. Even when I overeat, it's always cold or some kind of bullshit. I'm like, you could at least microwave food.
No, I go all in.
All right. Well, we're preparing it. We're like going through the motions. We know it's probably going to be really good.
Mm-hmm. It's organic. Does that help?
No. Let me just say, I wrote a blog years ago about, this is back in my, y'all think I'm like full of piss and vinegar now? Oh my God, my hardcore days, like, I don't know, 10 years ago when I was blogging, like I had one on organic Pop-Tarts and how it was bullshit.
And I know that, but you know, I get them anyway.
It's okay. I'm not judging your Pop-Tarts. Here's where I'm judging. I want to know, like, what are you thinking? All right, it's going to be good and I'm just going to want it. So now I need to do work on what do I make it mean when I want it and I'm going to have to say no? Like, what comes up for you when it's like, shit, you mean I'm going to have to like sit and look at those Pop-Tarts and say, hell no, we can't have this. This is not happening today.
Yeah, I don't do that. I just have it. I say, I know, like,
this is what I'm telling you to do. I need you to envision tomorrow when you want the Pop-Tart and you did not plan for the Pop-Tart. Now we need to like think about, all right, we're going to want the Pop-Tart and we're actually not going to have it. And what kind of internal fit am I going to be throwing in that moment? Because that's why you're not doing it. You're avoiding the internal fit.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I'll be telling myself, I guess.
Take some guesses. We get to be wrong. Today is we get to be wrong day.
I guess maybe I think,
you froze up. Say it one more time. Maybe I think what?
Maybe I think, why bother? Or, you know, it won't matter. Or
yeah, you'll think, I mean, all maybe that stuff. But what, like, let me just imagine for a minute, Julie, if I said, you can't be in PNP anymore until you give up all the Pop-Tarts. Like, you're not going to be here anymore. So I need you to like throw them all out today. You never can buy them again. They're off limits to you. Your thoughts are what?
Oh, well, right now I'd be like, oh, no problem. You know?
Yeah, but tomorrow when you want the damn Pop-Tart, you're not going to be thinking, Carinza wise, thank God she told me that. What would you be thinking?
Well, I'd probably be thinking, well, I made a commitment to choose, you know, to make good choices, so I can't have it.
Then what happens on day 4? The first couple of days you get through it because you're like, I'm committed.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So maybe I go a week or two and then suddenly it's, and it's not just Pop-Tarts, you know, it could be anything, but yeah.
All your favorite foods are gone. Everything you've ever overate since you started with PNP is now off limits. You cannot have them anymore.
Okay. So then you want me to, how will that make me feel?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is my problem. It doesn't do anything to me right now. I feel fine with that right now.
Okay, then I'll tell you what. I'm gonna make a deal with you. When'd you join?
April.
Okay. All of the rest of this month, you're not allowed to overeat. You're not allowed to eat off your plan, no matter what it is. And if you do, I kick you out of the tribe. And you're not welcome back. On a scale of 1 to 10, how successful will you be? Today is May the 12th. That's 19 days. That's it. Let's just go all the way through June. I'll give you all the way through June, too. So all of June, and it, like, no fuck-ups. You're not allowed. And I mean it. I'll kick you straight out.
So if that were the case, what I will probably do is start bulking up my plans, you know, beefing them up a little so that I padded some good stuff in there.
But what's going to happen when you want something else?
If I knew you were going to kick me out and I knew you'd actually know that I went off plan, I guess I wouldn't.
Why aren't you just doing that now then? Why are you not just bulking up your plans, making them realistic, and then holding yourself accountable? Like, why are you not doing that right now is my question.
I am for the most part, but I'll go on a stretch for a week or two, and I'll do well, and then I will give in to something.
But why is that pop, like this Pop-Tart? Why is it not on your plan?
Yeah, that's a good question. I should just put it on my plan.
No, you should answer the question.
I guess the reason it's not on my plan is because when I make the plan, I don't want the Pop-Tart. I don't think I need it. It's not appealing. It's not tempting. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's whatever o'clock, you know, and for a snack, I think, oh, I have those Pop-Tarts. I should have one. And then I just have it.
Okay. So you know that your biggest problem right now, you've got several and they're little.
Okay.
Well, you've got like several problems that are just little. Number one is you need to beef up your plan. Because when I tell you, when guys, all of you can do this trick. If I say your PNP lifehood, like it is revolving around you being on plan and not overeating, suddenly you know how to realistically plan.
Okay.
It's like, oh, I better put all this shit on there. I better do this. Like, if everybody is like, I'm lost about a realistic plan. No, you ain't. Nobody is. You keep saying, I don't know, I don't know. And that allows you to sit around and think about how much you don't know rather than guessing, which is what I got you to do, to start guessing at what you could do. Suddenly you lay out the plan before your eyes. I didn't even give you a suggestion. Do you notice all I did was ask a question and you completely came up with your own shit? So then step two is you need to do some work on wanting in the moment. It's not good enough to say, well, I just want it. There must be more to it. It's like, no, there's nothing more to it. Here's what's to it. You have got to like plan your day and you need to have every other day you need to be like, today is the day I'm just focusing. And this is the day I do not give into a want no matter what. Like I am willing today to go like my skin feel like it's burning off. I want it so bad and I'm not having it.
Okay.
Your mindset has to be like, if you want to get over the I want it, you have to be willing to go in and do it so consciously for an entire day and not sit there and just be like, well, I make these plans. I don't even want it. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, you don't want it when your conscious brain is making the decisions. The problem is you're not allowing your conscious brain to take over every day. You're expecting your unconscious brain to agree. It wants a Pop-Tart and it wants it toasted. That's what it wants.
Yeah.
So you need to like plan. All right. So here's Monday. Here's the realistic plan. And here's the plan for when I want it. I have to do these things. And I don't even get to eat it today. But if I really want it, then it goes, then I immediately make a 24-hour plan for the next day. And that Pop-Tart is included on that plan. But then, you have to like go through everything that makes those moments conscious. Those unconscious eats can't become, they can't be overcome unless the conscious part of your brain overrides it. The unconscious part of the brain does not care about anything but immediate pleasure. That's all it cares about. Okay. The conscious part of your brain is the one that makes a food plan every day, thinks about your goals, completes worksheets, makes decisions. Your conscious brain will always talk to the unconscious brain and say, I know you want it, but here's what we're doing. I'm going to experience pain right now and let you want pleasure. I'm choosing to not have it on purpose and it not feel good and it my mouth to water and it to be antsy. And I'm going to watch all my crazy wide thoughts come through and remind myself I'm just thinking this and feeling things. And that is the worst that's happening right now. Okay. That is like, if you don't have like our first caller, the one who's going to McDonald's, she's not going there because she wants it. She's going there because she has been in an environment set up all morning, tapping her I'm not good enough as a mother button. And you haven't given me anything that says you've got something like that going on. You're just like, I just have all these wants. Like you know, I just really want it in the moment. I really want weight loss in this moment. And in this moment, I really want a Pop-Tart. It's like
exactly
it's something
right.
All you have to do is make it super conscious, all that. You need to go through like a few days. I would just pick like 2 to 3 days a week that you are like, no matter what, the overeating doesn't happen these days. And like you actually get a Pop-Tart out and you make one and you throw it away.
Oh, okay.
Like you really do some exercises around it. Cause like what will happen is you'll pick a couple of days and it'll be days that you were going to never eat a Pop-Tart to begin with. And so you don't really get to experience what it is to be like, no, not having it. Like this is not our day. And it feel like shit. And it takes just a few times of going through the process for you to still want it and it not feel like shit, not to have it. It just is like, whatever. We got like, I'm going to go do something else. I'm like, it's not interesting to think about. It's just a desire. It's just a want.
Okay.
Right now it feels like, I don't know how to get over those. It's so confusing why I'm even having them.
Yeah. Well, I kept thinking, well, maybe there is something going on somewhere, but I really just didn't feel like, I don't feel a lot of stress or pressure or, you know, I have a pretty low stress job. I mean, so I didn't feel like any of that was triggering me wanting to overeat. I just like food.
Let me ask you this. Do you want to feel bad?
No.
That's the problem. Half of life, you're supposed to feel like butt. I'm not joking. Like half of life is butt. Half of life is good. Most of us aren't willing to be uncomfortable to make the good even better. You don't get more good. You just get good at feeling bad. It's just like this afternoon, I have a lot of work. I'm already dreading it. I'm on a call dreading it. Like, I'm just like, oh, I'm going to get off this call. Like, my brain all morning, it's Mother's Day, shouldn't have to work all day. Like, it has all the thoughts, right? And it's like, but you know what I'm going to do this afternoon?
Your work.
I'm going to get my work done. Otherwise, the rest of the week is going to feel like more butt because I'm going to have more work to do. Yeah. And that's what I tell myself. And it's like, there are just like this afternoon will not be fun. It will not be rewarding. It will not be, there will be nothing going on except for me doing what I said I would do, fulfilling commitment to myself. Okay. And then tonight I'll feel accomplished, but it's not like a confetti gun and it's not like a bowl of ice cream or whatever. All it will be is like, you showed up. Good job. You did what you said you'd do today. Time for Game of Thrones. I mean, like, that is the problem is that we are like, you have to sign up. And I think that's what makes a lot of people successful, especially with weight loss or with business or whatever. You sign up to just be there when it's not fun, but you don't dread it. Well, all right, I am dreading some of the stuff I have to do, but I don't dread showing up for myself. I may not love administrative tasks, but... I definitely am not dreading showing up for myself. I'm committed to it. And none of that feels amazing like a fresh, hot Pop-Tart when we want it.
Mm-hmm. But you do it anyway.
Yeah. And then eventually you lose some weight and you're delighted with yourself. And yeah, those Pop-Tarts are never missed anymore.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it's really helpful.
It's such a good conversation because most of the time when we come on here, I don't get to coach as often as I would like on just wanting to. Like, I think so many of us think something has to be broken because we want mm-hmm. the Pop-Tart. Like, no, they chemically engineer even the organic ones to make sure that they taste really good.
They do.
Yeah. All right, lady. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's see who's next. Jana? I'm going to get Jana, and then Kimberly, I'm going to get you, and then we're going to call it, because that will give us, I think, five. One, two, three, four. Oh, God, yeah. I'll get through five of y'all today. Yay me. Let me just keep taking coaching calls so I can avoid all this work I got to do this afternoon. I love coaching. Administrative work. How can I help you, Missy?
Well, I have a problem. I took a picture, I guess, of myself. I didn't realize how big I was. So I'm kind of having mental problems with that and trying to work through all that. I joined in January and I have lost almost 50 pounds.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Thank you. But I have lost almost about 81 pounds from my highest. So
that's even better.
I still have a long ways to go. And, you know, before when I was in Weight Watchers and all this other stuff, I would lose, I think I would more like starve myself and lose like 5 or 7 pounds a week. And this time I'm doing it slow. So I'm trying to wrap my mind around that as well.
Okay.
So I don't know. I've been
avoiding taking pictures. Okay, so you're not losing slow. 50 pounds and when you've already lost like 30 prior to that, that's not slow. And here's the thing. I would never think about my weight loss as fast or slow anyway. Mm-hmm. I would always just think of it as it's coming off and staying off.
Well, I considered it fast because I lost almost 180 pounds in like 18 months. It was off.
I don't give a shit about that time. I'm talking about this time. Like your mm-hmm. brain needs to not even be concerned with that.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
Take a guess. What benefit to you does it have at all thinking about the way you lost 180 pounds and how you're going to lose this weight?
Because it's two different scenarios. Because I'm not starving myself this time. I'm eating the right way.
Then all I'm not living. Yes. The only thing I would think about that 180 is it taught me everything I need to know for this weight to come off. And this weight to stay off. Mm-hmm. Like not even not to do, just what it's going to take for me to keep it off for good. The more mm-hmm. you keep reminding yourself that the way you're losing it this time is for good, and the way you're losing it this time is the way that you intend to live it, you will start identifying as that person. 100% for sure. And you will catch fire with momentum as you keep going and keep going and keep going. But if you keep thinking, well, that last time was faster, if you allow any, it is such distractionary thoughts. It's just useless thinking is what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can spend time there if you want, but I would much rather you spend time on where you're going, not where you've been.
Right.
And where you're going is the version of you. It's like, I just keep seeming to lose weight. Look at me. It's going to stay off this time. I'm learning how to do it the right way. I love everything that I'm creating. You stay in that space. You don't have time to think about that. And you don't give a shit about that because you're so in love with the version of you that you're becoming.
Right. And I just can't get over this picture thing. You know, since I saw it, I've been eating like an asshole. Every little thing, I go in the kitchen and just grab a handful of something. And before I know it.
What is your thought about this picture again?
It's because I thought I was doing so good, but I didn't realize how big I am.
Okay. Picture has nothing to do with your actions. Mm-hmm. Here's how it's now come to do with your actions. I see a picture of myself. I thought I was doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Feels what? Shitty?
Mm-hmm.
Action, go eat some food. Result, I'm not doing as good as I was.
Right.
Because I looked at a picture and had a thought. That picture has done nothing to you. You know what?
Right.
The only thing that's happened is you're overeating because you think you should be doing better. Or you're not doing, like, what is it that you said? I thought I was doing good. You need to think about how good you were doing and get back to that. That picture is just a picture. Your definition of how you're doing is all going on between your ears. Don't blame it on the picture. The picture just triggered the inside of you that was doubting you, that was so busy worried about the 180 version loss of you.
Right.
It's go ahead.
Well, you know, my whole life, I've always been told by my parents and my grandma that I would be a failure, that I would never amount to anything. And, you know,
well, good for them.
And I kind of think about that all the time on this weight loss journey, because I have lost the weight before. Have I kept it off? No, I gain it back.
Yeah, so but then, that's not them. Good for them to have, for them to have been honest with their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's the best way to look at it. Because I'm going to tell you, you keep getting caught up in this should shit. I thought I looked better. I should be doing this. I should lose this fast. Blah, blah, blah. They should talk different.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I don't even know why your grandmother and your parents' opinions about your failure has anything to do with who you're going to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with it, but you're bringing it along for the ride. You're just like, I know what will help me. Let me bring other people's opinions in, make it true in myself, and then let's see if we can lose some weight.
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
I'm 41.
Too fucking old to be living in your childlike mind. That's for all of you. I don't give a damn what people said to you. My daddy used to call me a hefty trash bag. Thank God I didn't let that determine whether or not I could lose weight. You know what I let that be? What he said when I was 12. Just like what your parents and your grandmother and stuff said, that's what they used to say. It may even be what they're saying now. None of it makes any sense. None of it is even relevant to your life until you're like, all right, I'm all in on your opinion. I'm going to trust yours more than mine now. Even though yours is shitty, your opinion must be more valuable than my own. Mm-hmm. If it can't get you to where you want to go, then for fuck's sake, don't adopt it.
Right.
What is your opinion about Jana and her? Is it Jana?
Uh-huh.
We have another one, Yana. I wanted to make sure I wasn't saying it wrong. For once, my Southern redneck pronunciation holds true. So I want to know your opinion of where you're going. They've always said you're a failure. But what is your opinion of you? You didn't ever tell me that part.
Well, my opinion of where I'm going is a strong, independent woman that can do things and not quit or give up on herself.
Okay, so does that person give a fuck about what people told her when the best that they could do is say you're a failure?
No.
Does she get angry about that? Or does she just be like, I'm
just
sure
let it go?
Yeah, they're probably doing the best they could. I'm going to tell you, like, my family has told me about all kinds of stuff. And the best work I've ever done, especially when it comes to my parents, is to remember not everybody gets to do thought work like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are going through life regurgitating the way they were raised and what somebody told them. And in their mind, it's easier to tell you that you're going to be a failure than it is to say, like, oh, you're going to do great things and then worry you're going to go out and fail. You know how, like, we pre-fail ourselves sometimes? Like, well, I don't want to believe too hard in my weight loss because what if I don't lose weight? That's the way we all say you're a failure. Just don't start. Mm-hmm. There's no telling why they said it, but I'm going to tell you right now, the best gift you'll ever give to yourself is to be solid in your own opinion of you and have compassion that they were just wrong. And we don't need to know why they even said it to begin with. They're just wrong. They probably loved you. There's no harm in thinking that.
Right.
I like the version you have way better than theirs. I would love to
make it too.
Where all of you are no longer ever able to tell me what someone else said about you until you tell me what you honestly think about yourself. Because what you think about yourself will always tell me everything I need to know. What somebody else's opinion of you is tells me nothing about what's going on in your brain. It just tells me what you remember. That's it.
Yeah.
You're doing so good.
Thank you.
A picture needs to remind you that you're doing really good.
Yeah, because like a lady in my accountability group, she did, like my daughter got married in December. And so usually I don't do pictures. I refuse to do them. But now I'm to the mindset that, you know, I don't want my kids to grow up and not have any pictures of me. So I'm going to take pictures at any size, regardless of what I look like or I think I look like. So I took a picture at her wedding. And then I work for a school district and we're getting new band uniforms. And so they had me put this stupid band hat on to model it. I know it's ridiculous.
Well, I was in band, so I know how stupid it is.
And so I put it on and then they took a picture and then I'm like, oh, I thought I'd lost 50 pounds. And, you know, you just don't see it because, you know, like I started at 381. That was my number that I started at. And so now it's like I'm almost out of the threes. So.
Well, here's what I want you to do when you look at that picture. I want you to say, and that's a lady who's almost out of the 300s. Mm-hmm. It's the same person rather than I thought I was doing so good. That must be someone fucking up.
Right.
You could also be thinking like just what you just told me. That's someone who's almost out of the 300s. She should keep going.
Yeah.
That's all you need to think. And it's normal to look at pictures and your old thinking be triggered. Mm-hmm. And I don't want any of you to think that something has gone wrong. I want you to be like, I'm glad it got triggered because now I have another opportunity to practice saying the right things to myself rather than sitting around and hating that I don't say the right things to myself.
Right.
We ain't got no time to hate.
And see, I'm in Queen's Club and have I participated this month with any of the selfies? No. So maybe this is something I should really do every day.
Yeah, you should post that picture first. Mm-hmm. I want you to post that. I want you to go to Queen's Club. I want you to post that picture. And I want you to write 10 thoughts that I choose to believe about this picture now.
Okay.
You better not put a negative one there. I'm going to have Kathy or Mary Jo or somebody rat you out if you do. It will not be pretty. 10 good thoughts.
Okay.
Totally, 10 thoughts. Like, talking honestly, that's a lady who's lost 80-something pounds. That's somebody who's almost out of the threes. Like, it doesn't have to be like she's the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world. You can put that down if you want to. But a lot of times you guys are like, when I tell you to start changing your thoughts, you all want to jump to something so crazy. And I'm like, what if we just start with something better? Like just a little better. Cut ourselves some slack. So I want you to do that.
Okay.
Stick right up wherever they're at right now. You start posting a picture every day.
Okay.
Get over this and let it trigger. And you need to post a thought with each one. Every single one of them. You can pull from one of your 10 or you can create a new one, whatever you want to do. But you already have two very special, unique things that most of the girls in here don't. A really good working definition of who you're becoming. A lot of our girls don't even have that yet, and you do. And you also have some momentum at your back. I don't care what's happened the last couple of weeks. You have way more experience losing 81 pounds now?
About 80 pounds.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of experience losing 80 pounds, and you've got 2 weeks that you let a picture throw your brain into a tizzy. 2 weeks compared to 80 pounds of work.
Right.
I mean, we've been talking like the balance of scales. It's like this. The 80 pounds has way more weight in this, more skin in the game. Rely on that you know way more fucking than you think you do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, mama.
All right.
Keep
on. I can do this.
You can. You will.
I will do this. I will not ever quit on myself.
There you go. All right. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
All right. And last person is, who did I say? Kimberly. Yeah, I'm getting a haircut this week. I cannot wait. It needs some weight taken out of it. I usually go every 5 weeks, and I'm on the seventh. Can't really, the roots aren't too bad. It's because I got so much natural gray. The nice thing about being a bleach blonde is that we go gray. It's like you get a little extra lifehood in the roots. I know. I always get so scared because, like, you can tell the areas, like, right through here. I'm like, okay, if those are the roots and this doesn't look rooty, then I know where all the gray is living. All right, what are we coaching on? Oh, you're muted. I think your audio is not on your phone because I've got you unmuted. Check your audio settings. Here, let me pause. I want to update. Oh wait, you're muted too. Hang on.
It was supposed to be on, and then I had to jump off, and
yeah.
Now we're back to me.
Yes, and then I'm going to try to get Wanda back on if possible, because she was at camp, and I'll have to tell the whole story. It was really good. So, all right, so what are we coaching on?
Okay, so I had a couple different things. I was going to ask about self-sabotage, because I got 40 years of it, literally 40.
Okay.
And I'm coming up, I'm at the lowest weight I've been in 4 years. I know over the next 30 pounds, I'm already worried about it. I'm worried about the mind games I'm going to play. I haven't been.
Wait, why are you worried about the mind games and not just being like, I'm aware that's going to happen. It's time to solve it because I've been doing this for 40 years. Now's the time.
I think I am getting to that point now because I've been listening to everything. I'm like, I'm all in with this and doing all of the listening to all the calls and doing up. And I do realize that that's what I'm doing finally.
Good.
And the other thing, first of all, I have a great accountability group, and I had posed this question in there and said, should I ask about self-sabotage or should I ask about dating and how my fat girl thinking, like, I feel like everybody that rejects me, it's because I'm overweight. And one of the ladies in my group said, well, maybe you're self-sabotaging those relationships too. And I was like, yes!
Probably are.
Self-sabotage all the time. So this has been going on a long time, and I've got to figure this out.
So, okay, so first of all, self-sabotage, do you know what it is?
Just that I know, because I so unconsciously do it all the time.
But what do you, like guessing, what do you think self-sabotage is?
It is stopping myself from succeeding.
But why is it caused?
Low self-esteem.
Nope.
I don't know. It stops me from doing many, many things I'd like to know.
It's when you believe in one thing and you have a new version of you, like you trying to think and do things that are going right up against something that you at your core believe. So if you believe guys don't date fat girls, what do you think?
Yes, I believe that.
You believe dudes don't like fat chicks?
I believe that is why I get rejected. So I'll go out on a date or I'll talk to somebody on the phone or even video chat. Everything's great. Everything seems to line up. I meet them in person. Done. They drop me. They ghost. They go away. Now, sometimes I don't even wait for them. I don't even weigh in with my opinion. I just let them decide. So I think that's part of the whole people pleasing.
You let them decide what?
Whether or not they want to pursue me.
I mean, I think that's fine. If you want to just be like, I'm either their cup of tea or not, but it has nothing to do with my weight. What if they just don't like you? What if you're just one of those people that has to go through a bunch of people who are like, you know what? On video chat, you're amazing. But in person, oh my God, you're annoying.
That could be. or maybe. I mean, I guess I've been trying.
Do you sleep with dudes on the first round?
My daughter's sitting in the room for Mother's Day, so we're not going to talk about that.
Let's put it this way: there's probably a lot of guys that are like, you know, I get the vibe from this one that she's not going to want to have sex. Ghost. Done. Mm. Wait, I mean, I'm just offering you up explanations that have nothing to do with your weight.
Okay.
I think the problem is that you think there's only one explanation as to why guys don't ask women out on second dates. There are just as many thin chicks that go out on dates who don't get second ones as there are overweight chicks that go out on dates and don't get asked for second ones. Like, we always think it's our weight. What if it's just guys have opinions? Some of them, it will be because of our weight. Do you want those guys?
No.
Okay, so they're doing the self-selection out of the process for you. So let's not worry about them. If it was your weight, you don't want to be with them anyway. So why are we like crazy about it? Some of them,
because I let it hurt me. I let it, and then I feel rejected, and then
yeah,
well, I feel bad, and then I eat.
What if you just decide right now it will never be about my weight ever again?
Okay,
we're either a match or we're not. They either get it to the binary. This doesn't have to be complicated. You make it emotional. If you're going to make it emotionally great about yourself, not something terrible about yourself. But the reason why I don't know that you're sabotaging these dates as much as you're going in. Like, if the working definition for you is that overweight people, guys don't like them, then every
certain
time
guys.
You're, yeah. You what?
Certain guys.
Just certain guys.
Yeah.
What if it was all men? Who cares? Your working definition is, while I'm overweight, dates can't work out.
And to that point, I got so frustrated with it that I deleted all the apps last week.
Well, that's a self-sabotage, because then you don't allow the guys that might be the the uncertain guys that we think it has nothing to do with, you cut all them out too. This is what we do when we try to protect ourselves. When you're trying to protect your feelings by preventing yourself from having to feel anything. So you prevent yourself from the right guy and the wrong guy, all in one fell swoop. Rather than just being like, you know what? I'm okay with feeling rejected sometimes. I'm just going to be on to myself that if I'm feeling rejected or sad, only because of what I'm thinking about it. It's not because it's true. Right now you're holding on to truth about it, and that's why it feels terrible. Rather than like, fuck, I really thought he was one. Oh, here I am feeling shitty about this again. It's because of what I'm thinking. I'm going to feel shitty. And then eventually you'll be like, I don't want to feel shitty about this guy. I'm done with that. I'm moving on to the next one. That's empowered feeling negative. You're a very disempowered negative feeler right now. Like, I need to protect myself. I shouldn't feel rejected. I don't need any of this. I'm just going to cut all of it out of my life, along with all the potential and the right guy. Like, he's sitting out there being like, well, now she's lumped me in with all the assholes.
Oh, I told myself that I was doing it so I could do this work in PNP, so I could really get to the bottom of it and, you know, do the thought work and figure out why I was doing this. And I wanted to, because it can be a time suck. Spending all of that time analyzing this and that and debating, going back and forth. And I thought, I could use that time to work on me. So and that's always, at least what I told myself this time.
Yeah. And that always sounds so good, right?
It sounds good.
The reason why I'm not going to put myself through negative feeling is so I can do my enlightened work over here. But the problem is your enlightened work requires some bullshit. You need to get rejected. You need to come home thinking you're fat and then practicing not thinking it's because of your weight and thinking, oh, it's because he might be an asshole. Maybe he's just not my guy.
He might be.
Or it may be like when you like come home and don't make it about your weight, you remember in the conversation, you didn't have that much in common. Y'all just wanted to go have dinner and see if it would work. And it's like, no, there were no sparks.
And see, I immediately, if there's no sparks, I think, well, that's me. Let me ask you this.
If you were thin, do you think everybody you would go out with would be like Spark Bill?
No, but I think I'd be way more choosy.
Why don't you just be choosy now in the body you're in? Why don't you just, I mean, so only skinny chicks get to be choosy. Fat chicks have to take whatever they get.
Maybe that's my bad.
Maybe you're entitled to be choosy about men because you're human and you're deserving and you're worthy. And it has nothing to do with what you weigh.
Because that's the game I always play with myself. I'm always like, I have a great job. I'm funny. I'm smart. They just must not like me because I'm fat.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah, like they're not going to like you because of your weight when you don't like you because of your weight. And if you really like you, despite your weight, and you're just like, I am all these amazing things, then when you go and someone ghosts you or whatever, it doesn't hurt. It reveals their truth, not your truth.
That is, wow.
So, like, you gonna talk to your daughter later about all this like sex you like to get when you go out? Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. She's sitting here not even cracking a smile. But
she's like, do you pay for this shit, Mom? Like, fucking seriously.
Oh Lord. Oh. But and I think that there's some kind of ideal that I hold myself to. Like when I get to this weight, then everything magically is going to fall in place and all the guys are going to like me and all this is going to happen. And then, so I'm getting closer to getting to that milestone and then I'm freaking out because I'm like, I'm going to get there. And then what? That's when I usually quit.
Yeah. But when you get there, like when you're, are you going to want all that attention?
I think I do. I mean, since my daughter has moved out, I've done this empty nesting thing the last couple of years. I'm lonely. And so I think sometimes that I force the connections that I shouldn't because I am lonely. Okay. And, but, you know, now I got my tribe.
Yeah. People.
And honestly, I feel like some of that looking on the dating sites and all that kind of stuff, try to find that connection. In some way, I found more connection through the tribe and accountability group and that kind of thing. And that has honestly helped kind of fill somewhat of a void for me. But,
I think you need to get really connected with yourself and who you want to believe you are and start really working on that relationship with yourself. You can keep dating guys if you want, but it's like asking yourself, like, why am I going out with them and why would I not want to go out? Like, why do I want to be on this site and why do I not want to be on this site? Because if you're really searching for connection, it doesn't mean that you have to like go out with guys, but it doesn't mean you have to give up on it either. It's just like, I want you to come at it from a clean space. I think right now what's happening is, you know, you're like setting yourself up for a lot of sabotage, essentially, because it's like, if you believe that men only like thin chicks and, you know, I'm only going to get these guys, like you've got to like really reconcile that. You got to really believe in yourself, because whatever you believe about you is what you're going to find mirrored in every date you go on. Because this is what will happen, even when you lose the weight, nothing snaps into place. The smaller you get, the more your beliefs balloon about yourself. So if you just believe that at the core that men are superficial, because that's pretty much what you're saying, they're really only about the body. They either like them thin or they're like putting up with the overweight ones. Like, this is what men are. Then when you're thin, you're going to want to try to impress them more. We don't feel better about ourselves just because we're thin. We get more of the thoughts we currently have magnified, because for the first time in your life, you'll be sitting there and you'll start seeing your body and you'll be really proud and you'll have these good feelings, but it will all be because of what you're seeing in yourself, like visual, like the external. And if you didn't do the mental work, you'll be terrified it's going to go away. You will worry yourself to death while you're thin, because every overeat, everything will be saying internally, you're destroying our happiness.
Wow.
That's why it's so important to learn how to just generate your own happiness, to love yourself where you're at now, so that, and have compassion for mistakes, to be like, when I talk to you guys about being able to overeat and not beat yourself up on the back end and learn from it and stuff, that is how I've been able to keep this weight off. Because I still fuck up now on a weekly basis. It is not like Corinne has some perfect binder. It's like, no recovery worksheets for me. You know, it's, that is not what happens. I just autocorrect all the time because there's always something going on that's changing at all times. And when I don't think it's because I'm going to lose all of this, it's like this happiness and stuff was not built because I lost weight. It was because I started earning the respect of myself. I stopped beating myself up. I started actually liking me as a person and my place in this world. And it was a whole lot easier to treat this package better with food and exercise and stuff when I wasn't beating it down all the time and escaping myself.
What, how can I do the, I want to do the work. What do I, how do I start?
What do I would do? I would honestly, let me see here. I've got this big book of stuff. There is
the great big book of everything.
It is the big book. Y'all think your one planner is a bitch. This is just one thing that I use for content. One, I am a hoarder of binders. Being a show. Well, the first thing you could do is you could write a letter to yourself about, like, here's who I think I am today, and get it all out. Like, here's everything I think about myself today, and be really honest with yourself and be willing to be like, you know, I even get to be ugly to myself. I get to let it loose. Okay. Because here's what you're wanting to do. You want to let it loose and not feel ashamed or bad about it. You actually want to just watch all of that. And just like, this is what happens. Like, when you let all of it out, then you start going, oh, I can gain authority over it. But when I keep it trying to keep it tucked in, like if I let it out, something bad's going to happen. It's like when you let it out, you allow your brain to go to work on solving it. Hmm. When you keep it tucked in, your brain can't go to work on solving it. It just keeps trying to move it around. And it's like, oh, well, now you're messing up this part of the house. Now I got to move you over here. Now you're messing up this part. It's like, you're jacking up our food. Oh, now you're jacking up our dates. Oh, now you're doing this. It's like, it just starts jacking shit up. It's like, that's when you want to get it out on paper. So do that first. And then write another column of like, all right, here's everything that is amazing about me. Here are all the things that I currently believe are absolutely true about me. And then go to the third one and say, and here are all the things I'm willing to believe could be true about me. And it may take time, but I want to believe these things. And then you start like daily taking one at a time. Like I love writing TDL in on what's like what I want to be and what's going right and where I'm going. I do a lot more, like I just don't spend a lot of time in all the brokenness. Like most of my TDLs, the only time I ever do one that's what I would call like negative is when I've had a bad day or something legit bad's happened. Most of the time it's like, I think about my goals. I think about the relationship I want to have with myself. I'll think about my body and I'll write love letters to myself about how I want to be thinking and feeling about my current body, that kind of stuff. Do that on the I'm open to believing stuff. Like this is where I want to move to. And then each day you take one at a time and you just write about that one thought. This thought today is making me feel what and why. And if I was going to believe it, here's how my life would look and feel like. Like just writing a freeform letter about that stuff. That's how you do it. I mean, I wish I could give you guys like ABCD paths, but I'm going to tell you like every day, the more you will write about, like be honest about who you think you are and don't hide from that. But then also write a lot about who you want to be and who you're willing to believe you are. And then also like, and this is who I am now that I actually do like. Your brain starts getting like so much practice and exercise on that. And mm-hmm. We don't do near enough of that stuff.
No, it's all in my head. I mean, it, the, the good thoughts that I have about myself are up there somewhere, and rarely do I say anything out loud. So that would be great for me.
There is, let me see. Yeah, basically this exercise is everything I just told you. And then there's another thing that you can do is too, is especially for all of you who are trying to lose weight right now, which is the majority of us, you can create what's called the accomplishment log. One of the things that I see you guys do, and this actually was for the caller before, or yes, the 80-pound girl. A lot of times when you guys have mishaps and stuff, you think you automatically go to ruin. I've ruined everything. I'm starting all over. I'm so off track. You make it way bigger than it is. It's like I did so good, and then for a month, it was just all shit. It probably wasn't all shit. You're just looking back at it really terribly. You write what's called the accomplishment log. You just go through the last 2 to 3 months, and you list every single possible thing that you've done right. For all of you that are so hard on yourself, this is such a good exercise to do like on the first of every month. You just literally recap the last month of every single little thing that you can think of that you've done right. Like, I remember there were several days this month I didn't even yell at my kids. You know what I mean? Like, anything. Like, I got on this coaching call. I kept up with my Marco Polo buddies. You know, there were times that I didn't overeat and I wanted to. Like, you just go through it, and it allows your brain to rise above the catastrophizing that we typically do. Like, you've catastrophized dating. They must all be bad. So now I'm not going to get on there. They must all think I'm overweight. It's like, no. It's like, what is your accomplishment log for the dates you did go on? Which ones went right? Maybe they didn't call back, but that doesn't mean it was all like boo-hoo. So that's some other stuff you can do.
Well, that's great. I will do those things.
All right, Missy. Well, thank you.
Okay. No, thank you. It was great.
All right. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Bye.
Bye.
Wanda, did you come back? I don't know if I see you. If you're back, I want to check in with you. If not, we'll get off here. Raise your hand if you, yeah, there you are. Okay. And then we're going to tell, or you're going to tell. And then Kathy, are you still on? Kathy, comment in the thing. Okay. Yeah, you're live now. Hang on 1 second. Let me make sure Kathy's here. Kathy, if you're still here. All right, so Kathy, this is what I'm going to want to do. I'm going to stop the